who know about this already, but many don't, that in a mill village, you paid a very small sum, because the pay wasn't all that great, but they wanted employees. So an employee could live there for, you know, $7 a month. No, yes, that's right, about $7 a month. But that's not where I was born. I was born on a little island in the Holston River, which runs through Kingsport. The little island is called, and don't get it confused with the other one, it's called Long Island. But it was sacred ground for the Cherokee. And there were houses built on there during the time I was born. And so I'm quarter Cherokee, and I feel, you know, that's pretty special to me, that I was born on sacred ground. Anyway, I'll turn it back to you, and then we'll talk about the rest of the wonderful day I had. KK4JBQ.
I'm glad that when you said that you were, you clarified Long Island. I'll put it that way. I brought back a little quip. There was a guy running around, down around Jacksonville between Jacksonville and Savannah, and he was looking for Beach Island. And I told him, I said, what are you looking for on Beach Island? And he told me. And I started laughing, and I said, buddy, I said, you got a drive ahead of you. He said, well, it can't be. I'm down here on the coast. It says Beach Island. I said, yeah, but that's up next to Augusta, Georgia. And he said, it can't be. I said, look on your Rand McNally. And he got his Rand McNally out. He started fussing and creating a ruckus. And I told him, I said, you better get on the road because you're going to be late already. I said, you said you had to be there at 8 o'clock. And I said, it's 7 o'clock now. I said, you're not going to make it by 8. You might make it by 8 tonight if you're lucky. And oh, he got even a worse tour up. So, getting Long Island, Tennessee confused with Long Island, New York. I said, man, I tell you what, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
That would be terrible. But I can't say that I've driven anywhere near the miles that you've driven. So it came to me sort of late in life that one of the difficulties in navigation of our roads, though they're well marked, and since Eisenhower and his improvement of the interstate highway system, which goes back to the 50s, we're a traveling bunch of folks, we in this country. And so you take to the highways, you better have your Rand McNally around. That'd be a paper map, long before GPS was ever thought of, I suppose. You better have a good map to go by and at least know which direction you want to go, you know, because these duplications of names, you know, there's a Greenville here in South Carolina, but there's a Greenville in North Carolina. And there's a Greenville in Kentucky. And Donna pointed this out to me. I'm not that well traveled that I had ever taken notice of that. I said, well, you know, how deep does that go? She says, well, pick a letter of the alphabet. It's all the way through our country. It would seem that they ran out of the good names or something, so they started duplicating everywhere. And in some places, like the most confusing thing here, I would only be speaking to someone who just arrived, I suppose, if this was any news to anybody. This is the most curious thing about Greenville, South Carolina. You're driving down the road, and you go past, you come to an intersection with another major road. Maybe yours is a secondary road, but anyway, you cross a major road. And the name of the road changes. Never in my life have I lived anywhere where roads change names when they crossed another road. But it's frequent here, and the rain has arrived. I can hear it on the rooftop. KK4, JVQ.
Just here about the road changing names like that. I was telling the guy, giving him directions to a place down in Georgia, and I told him, I said, if you run 85 down to Atlanta, get off on Jimmy Carter Boulevard and turn to the left. And I said, just stay on that road. It'll change names 5 times before you get over there, almost to Interstate 20. And I said, when you get to that point, I said, you'll be right there at the place that you're looking for. He said, you mean I don't have to go all the way down into Atlanta and round the 285 and then hit 20 and go back up? And I said, no. He said, well, how did you figure that out? I said, I've been driving a long time.
Yes, that's true in many things in this life. The more experience you have in any given thing, the better off you're going to be at that and perhaps some related things too. Yeah, a sense of direction, I don't have one. I really don't. I get lost driving because of my ignorance. You know, you're going down, I can't even pick a street here that you'd be familiar with. But you're going down the road, you're in a lane that will take you right straight on, but now you want to turn left. So you have to figure out how to get over there. Or you're driving down the highway and you want to keep going straight ahead, but you're in the wrong lane to actually move over. You have to anticipate this thing. Or the road and the traffic will take you off that, onto an off-ramp, onto another highway, and you'll be traveling until you can turn around and go back and try it all over again. I drove by the seat of my pants without a map, and I never got good at reading a map. But there are people like my father-in-law, passed on now, but he had such a marvelous way of giving direction. And, you know, if you're as ignorant as I am about road travel, you just shake your head. He tells you every turn, and not by landmark, which is what my dad would always do. It's how I was raised. You know, you turn at the, you know, such and such a grocery store or such and such a church. No. You go by road. And much easier if you can anticipate that road. And I couldn't. So I figured, and I never spoke to him about it. I didn't want to spread my ignorance around as I am doing right now. But my father-in-law had what must be a bird's eye view of the roads in his head. Because he could tell you every twist and turn to go from here to, not very far, let's say Asheville. He could tell me that, and I'd forget it. Before he finished talking, I'd forget it. it's not an ability that I have, but one that I admire. KK4, JBQ.
Depends on how long you've been driving and where you've been and all kind of different things as far as that goes. But, I think everybody needs to learn to read a road map. It's not the hardest thing in the world, but to some folks it's very confusing. And, I can understand that because I've read maps for, for a lot of years, and I've taught people how to read road maps, and it's helped them out to some extent. Just remember your odd interstates go north and south, and your even ones go east and west. That'll help you out in a whole bunch. Just try and remember those. But tell us about the rest of your day, Larry, KI4DOS.
Do that, and I'm anxious to do that. Don't misunderstand. Maybe it'd be a good time to check for other folks who are just really hankering to check in. KK4JBQ.
Call Larry if you don't mind waiting. Do we have any other check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. We got them all, Larry. Go ahead.
Well, the rest of my marvelous day was that shortly after my two-hour conversation with my Aunt Bug, Donna came home, and we were going to sit down to our meal, and the phone rang, and it was another ham. Because of what I plan to say, I'm not going to mention a name, but you may gather who this is. Folks who know him will probably understand who it is. Anyhow, he called me with the most wonderful news. He said, I sent you a little movie. Actually, I sent you two little movies. And one of them was his first grandchild, who, for crying out loud, the last time I saw this child, he was in his grandma's arms, just a tiny little thing, just a few days old, and skewed as a button. And now he was pushing a cart. He was pushing a cart around the house, learning to support himself and walk. Time passes so fast. I mean, children are walking younger. I don't know what it is, but I was stunned to see this little movie. And he was just laughing and, you know, happy that he was doing what he wanted to do, you know. I don't remember, of course, but I think you want to walk before you can. And then the other movie was equally funny and precious, yes, indeed, but on a different subject. Anyhow, and we talked for over an hour, and I just had a marvelous day visiting on the telephone. Now, some people don't like that much, can't really understand what I'm talking about, but I don't think I'm talking to very many of those kind of folks, because you like to talk on, you know, over the air and a microphone and such, so I imagine you like to talk on the telephone, too. I could be wrong, but anyway, I spent about 3.5 hours on the telephone today and talk with a couple of people that are so precious to me. A good friend and my mother's sister. Yes. Anyway, that's a short clip. I could have made it longer, but for brevity's sake, I probably should turn it back to you, Gary. KK4JBQ.
I can see why you've had a marvelous day. Anytime you can have the time to sit down and talk to your friends and family, you know, whether it's telephone, radio, or whatnot, or maybe even in person, you know, that's a good day, the way I look at it. And I'm glad you had such a good day and enjoyed yourself. And, yeah, you know me, I love to talk on radio. I love to talk on the phone, too. You and I have gotten into a couple of lengthy conversations. Of course, I don't pay any attention to the clock when I get to talking to somebody a lot of times. But I guess we need to do a little better about that on the air. But, you know, just for the simple reason we need to identify every once in a while. You know how that goes. But again, Larry, glad you had such a good day, and hope you have another wonderful day tomorrow, Larry. I really do.
My prayer is that everyone dodges the bullet. That this storm, it seems to be a serious storm with lots of water, of course, rising water, of course, and local flooding and that sort of thing. But this storm has a lot of wind. And it's one thing that I spoke to my Aunt Bug about, you know, my reason for calling, you know, and she recalled 1997. Didn't ring for me, so I says, well, was there a big storm in 97? She said, oh, yes, came right through the neighborhood here. And it was supposed to be a downburst type of storm. But something about the air, and she couldn't explain it, and I couldn't understand it. But this downburst of a storm uprooted a big tree. I mean, a big tree, completely straight up in the air, and then dropped that huge tree, trunk, roots, the foliage above, and everything on a house, obliterated it, and it was right across the street from her. So you know she's going to remember that. So anytime there's exceptional weather of any sort, it's good to, well, just ask yourself a question, am I vulnerable in any way? If it's going to be winds around 60 miles an hour, which this one is reported to be windy like that, if it comes through your neighborhood, things better be tied down. You know, all those things that could blow away and do damage to the thing, but also to other properties, maybe. We live on a very active planet, you know. And just because we're inland and aren't troubled with storm surges, that's got to be. I lived in Jacksonville, Florida for a while, and there was always concern about weather coming off off the Atlantic up near Jacksonville Beach, which isn't very far from Jacksonville itself, a couple of 3 miles maybe. Everybody had their ear to, that's where people boarded up, not just businesses, they boarded up houses to keep those surges and the high winds from breaking the glass out, you know, I guess, or also projectiles, you know, things that are blown that aren't secured, and they're blown in the wind and might come right through your living room window. Yeah, got to pay some attention to that. Pleasurable conversations today, this being one of them. Thank you again for calling the net, being so faithful to keeping this on this net on the air each and every night of the world. Many of us appreciate that. KK4JBQ, I'll turn it back to you. 7-3.
Doas in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Well, Larry, I've enjoyed it. We get to talking, and we go from one subject to the next, but we do a lot of traveling while we talk, which was a good thing. But you tell Miss Donna we said hello. Hope y'all have a wonderful day tomorrow. Stay as dry as possible, and weather out the coming storm, whether it be wind or rain or both, we'll deal with it. And I'm just glad that we don't control the weather, Larry, because we'd really have a mess of it, sure enough. But you and Donna have a great evening and a wonderful day tomorrow, and we will talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. One for comments. Is there anyone else who would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. We'll wrap it up for this evening. I appreciate each and every one of you out there in radio land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling. Give him a good dose of writer's cramp. I'll submit my net report, and then we'll finish closing it out. Good folks, had a grand total of 54 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you again out there in radio land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night and give Mr. Matt a good dose of writer's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.